They're making me laugh. Good afternoon, everyone. Are you so excited to be here? I am so excited. I feel like we haven't been together in so long. So I'm expecting great things today. Are you expecting great things? Well, many of you remember our speaker today, Chris Goodman. He's been here before. This is not his first time. He is the co-founder and CEO of a company called Open Road Lending, although lots has happened since he's talked to us last. It's a company that started with two employees. They grew to 200. So he started it. God downloaded, if you remember last time, God downloaded the vision to him, exactly what to do and how to do it. And he started it. Probably, I don't know, was it in, where did you start at home in your garage or? In another business's office. And then it's grown to be what it is today. 200 employees, and they process 800,000 applications a year. So it's an amazing company, what God has done. And he, of course, built this company on biblical principles. That's why we bring him in here, because that's the way to do it if you want great success. Amen. So let's pray over him, and then I'll bring him up to go ahead and start. And expect to hear what you need to hear. Amen. As he ministers today. Father, we just set this side of time for you to minister to us. Father, I thank you for Chris and his heart to come and to share what works, Father, in the kingdom, in any business. So, Father, I thank you that we will have ears to hear today and a heart to understand what you are telling us so that we can grow and expand, Father, and progress, Father, advance your kingdom in this earth. Father, we want to see your kingdom come and your will be done in every industry, Father, across the globe. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's welcome him.
Okay, could everybody hear? Oh, nice. It works. Well, good morning. How many of you guys were here the first time I was here? Oh, nice. And you guys actually had me back, so that's good. Thank you. Well, I'm excited to be here. It's an honor, as always, to be in Dr. Savelle's church and to be able to minister and to share with his people. I wanted to introduce my wife, who was not able to attend last time. She was with her mom in Florida, so excited to have my wife, Sandra, here with us. So everybody give her... Behind every good man is a good woman. Just wanted that noted for the record. So I want to talk today about hearing and applying God's voice to your business. How many of us would like to have insight from God in our day-to-day lives and our day-to-day business? So it's super important if we could actually receive guidance from God on our business and everything else that we do with our families. And I'm not really talking about just reading the word. I'm not talking about going and doing a devotional and just seeing something that jumps off the page. I'm talking about actually hearing God speak to you and give you direction, to give you wisdom. And it's important for us to do that. There's really no secret for humans in the Bible, right? There's nothing hidden from us in the Bible. We have to be able to read it and understand it. But on the contrary, it's boldly written in the Bible that our purpose in life is to glorify God. That's it. And so all of the things that he does from a business perspective, all the things he does in your personal life, it is to give him glory. It's all about him. It's nothing about us. It's nothing about all the things that he's helping us achieve. It is whatever we do, he gets all the glory for it. And that's the key with anything. And so that can look a lot of different ways, but there are definitely infinite opportunities in our workplace. You know, our workplace is a mission field for us. We've always viewed that as our mission field. We're not called to Africa. We're called to our business because that's 200 families that we impact on a regular basis. And we'll talk a little bit about how we do that in just a few minutes. But regardless of our industry, regardless of our profession, our work serves a purpose, and that purpose is to glorify God. So when we glorify him, and honestly, even when we don't, and there's many times where we don't, he still loves us and he's faithful to us. So it's important for us to remember that. That's a great deal for us. So if we're falling short, but our heart is still his, he still helps us. So we all fall short, right? There's nobody perfect. You know, I'd like to say that everything we do every day is exactly the way God wanted it to be done, but I would be lying to myself and everybody else if that were the case. But as entrepreneurs, we're inundated with this, the get-rich-fast schemes, right? There's Instagram posts every day about how to get rich fast and how to do this and how to multiply your lead list and how to do all these other things that are just going to give you fast tracks to grow your business. And the problem is we go down those tracks and we lose sight of what God's told us to do. And so it's really easy to get caught up in all these things that are, you know, how can I go from zero to 200 employees overnight? I want to just do that. I don't want to do all the work that it takes to get to that point. I just want the end result, right? Everybody wants Dr. Savelle's anointing, but nobody wants to go through all the work and all the things that he had to do to get there, right? And so it's important that as business leaders and as business owners, and some of you don't own businesses, I understand that, but you hold leadership positions in other people's businesses, it's important that when we're glorifying God, we don't lose sight of the mission. And that's to glorify him. We don't get caught up in ourselves. We don't try and figure out how can we shortcut something in order to get to the result much faster. Because if we're plugged in the way we need to be plugged into God, he's going to give us insights on how to take shortcuts. He's going to show us different ways to make that crooked road straight so that we can get to that goal much faster. And we're going to talk about those in just a few minutes. So let's talk about somebody who can relate to the experience of getting their focus off of God, and that would be the Israelites, right? Everybody kind of remember that story? So let's talk about Isaiah 29, verse 15 and 16 says, "What sorrow awaits those who try to hide their plans from God?" Man, we don't want to do that, do we? We want him involved in our plans, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Who do their evil deeds in the dark? The Lord can't see us, they say. He doesn't know what's going on. How foolish can we be? He is the potter, and he is certainly greater than you, the clay. So even if we try and hide what we're trying to do, he knows. He's all-knowing. He knows everything that we're doing. He gets involved when we ask him to get involved, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. Isaiah 30, verse 1 and 2 says, "What sorrow awaits my rebellious children, says the Lord." So if we're not doing things the way that God wants us to do, we're rebellious, right? And so that's clearly not what we want to do. We want to be God. We want to be men and women of God who make plans consulting our Creator. He is the CEO of our businesses. And if we go to that mindset that, yes, I'm the CEO of our company, but he's the ultimate guy that makes the decisions. And early in our business, and we talked about this when I was here last time, you know, I had been in this industry for a long time. You guys remember that the Lord woke me up during a transition period in our lives, and over a 3 or 4 day period, he downloaded this business plan into me, and I got the business plan, I got it inside, and I was ready to run. I was excited. I had heard from the Lord, let's go make this happen. And what I found out over the first 18 months, 2 years, is that I had heard from God, and then I went my own direction. I thought I had the knowledge because he gave it to me, but then I got so busy trying to achieve and execute all the things I heard from him, I stopped listening to him. I stopped focusing on him. I was focusing on me because I was the expert. I'd been in this business forever. God gave me this business. I know how to do it. Great, I don't need you anymore. Let me just go run. But boy, that was a mistake. And so it took a while for me to realize, you know, things weren't quite clicking in all cylinders like I kind of thought they should be. Just things weren't really, they weren't running smoothly. And we'll talk about the feeling of that in just a second. And so I realized that God, I would go to God for the big decisions, right? Lord, we need to invest. What do I need to do? But he wants to be involved in the most infinite small decision. He wants to be involved in every decision, right? He wants you to come to him and have a discussion with him and have a relationship with him. As Christian business owners, we want to make sure that we are making an impact for God's kingdom, and he knows how to do that better than any of us, right? And so he can help us with that. So we're going to go over five ways that you can hear God's voice and put God first in your business. Number one, be Spirit-led. We have to invite Him into our business. He's not going to come unless we invite Him. It sounds simple, but I think it often gets overlooked. God has granted us each the inspiring, dizzying, and somewhat terrifying ability to accept or refuse His gifts. And so we have to accept His gifts. If we do not invite Him into our affairs, including our business, He's not going to force His way in. We have to invite Him in. So we begin with an invitation, which takes us to James 1, verse 5 through 8. It says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith and not doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." So we're promised that if we lack anything, if we go to Him, He will provide it to us. That's what the Word says. Pastor Justin just said He doesn't lie. His Word says He does it, so we have to do it. So we have to invite Him in to get that knowledge. That's exactly what we do when we invite Him into our business, right? We're asking for His knowledge, and it doesn't have to be anything fancy, nothing ceremonial. Oh, Heavenly Father, please join my business. No. It should be, Lord, I invite you into my business today. Give me ideas. Give me things that I need to accomplish today that's going to glorify you. Who on my staff needs an encouraging word, needs me to pray with them, needs whatever? What business client do I need to contact today that's going to have a great idea that's going to help accelerate our business faster? So those are the sort of things that the Lord can help us do. I think I shared with you guys last time I was here, I spend the first 30 minutes of my day from 8 to 8:30 every day. It's blocked off my calendar praying. I come in the office. They know I shut my door. They know to leave me alone. And I'm just seeking wisdom. Lord, what do I need to do today? You've seen my laundry list of things I need to get accomplished, Lord. How do we accomplish that? What do I not even worry about today, but what do I need to focus on? And so I'm just praying in the Spirit, reading Scripture, and looking for the Lord to just tell me what I need to do to get the most out of my day. There's only 8 hours a day. We all probably work many more hours than just 8 hours a day. But I want to be able to accomplish everything that the Lord wants me to accomplish to be able to achieve what the Lord wants us to achieve, and that's to glorify Him. And so, when you have a company that's got a lot of employees, you have a lot of families involved, right? There's a lot of drama, I guess we could say. It's probably a fair description. And so you don't really know what's going on in everybody's life. And it's hard for me to know on a personal level every employee at that level. But I make it a point every time I walk into the building, whether it's first thing in the morning or whether I get back from lunch, I go a different direction so I can see different people and just say, hey, thanks for doing such a great job or whatever the case may be. But I'm trying to engage as much as I can with our employees because they're the life of the business. Without employees doing all the work, then nothing's going to happen. I can't do it all. And so that's the key to any successful business is your people. And we'll talk about that in just a few minutes as well. And so does everybody understand that, why it's so important that if we start our day with Him, trying to get knowledge and wisdom, and one of the cool things that He does is He'll share with me just weird times to call clients. He'll tell me as I'm meditating and praying that I need to call Joe at 1:17 this afternoon. So I'll write that on my calendar, 1:17, I need to call Joe. And it's amazing that it's extremely rare that I ever call anybody and have to leave a voicemail. Because the Lord's told me when they're going to be ready to hear my voice, ready to accept my call. And boys, how much more productive are you when you don't have to leave a message and then they call you back and they leave you a message and you just play phone tag for 2 or 3 days when you can pick up the phone, call somebody at a specific time and know that they're going to answer. And so those are some of the things that the Lord provides us as we spend more time with Him and invite Him in. So why is it so important to get God involved? Because He knows things that you don't know. That's the biggest reason why we want to get him involved, right? He sees all the potholes. He sees all the issues that are out in front of us, right? And so if we invite him into our business as the CEO, as our partner, then he is going to help us navigate all those traps of the enemy. Because the enemy's out there to destroy us. We know that, right? He's here to kill and destroy. That's all he wants to do. And so by inviting him in, he is showing things that we cannot see, things that we don't know about in the natural. So we've got to have his insight. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours." Wow, that's powerful. Psalms 139, 16 says, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book all the days of my life were written before they ever took shape." Amen. Amen. We all have a book written about us, right? And so he's all-knowing. He knows all the things. He knows that today I was going to be here ministering in this church, sharing with all of you folks before I was born, because that's in my book. One more scripture, which Pastor Justin stole from me this morning. I'm sure he did. Jeremiah 33:3, that says, "Call to me and I will answer and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." That's what I want. Lord, this is why I'm calling to you, to show me great and mighty things that I do not know. So before you start seeking and being led by all the business trends, we have to seek him first. And that's Matthew 6:33. Seeking and spending time in his word aids with eliminating the desire to build our kingdom over his kingdom. And that's the key. That's the key to success. We're here to build his kingdom, not our kingdom. And so if we keep that focus, that our job is to build his kingdom and not our kingdom, life will get much easier for us. Psalms 119:105 says, "God's word will always give us clarity, wisdom, and guidance on the next best steps we can take." Man, that's what we want, right? So allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in the right strategies, the right investments, and the right partnerships, and that will help your business grow. Man, we're pretty picky on who we do business with. If I don't like you, I don't really want to do business with you, because I got to deal with you from a partnership perspective. I'm sorry. I'm just being honest, fully transparent. But I want the Lord to show us the right partners that have the same heart that we do. You know, our heart for our people. They teach their employees good. They believe in God. And so, you know, when we have an issue from a business perspective, it's a good conversation. It's not a bad conversation, because we have the same beliefs in many cases. And so could we do things with people that we don't like and grow our business faster? Probably. But I'm sure there would have been a lot of headache and a lot of other things that came into the fact that we don't want any part of. And so we may have been able to grow the business faster, but it wouldn't have been worth it just because we'd had to put up with people we don't like, for one. And it would have just made life more miserable. And life's too short to be miserable, right? We should all be happy. And so, okay, number two. We have to communicate with him and then be obedient. Make sure you write down the second part.
Yeah.
That's important. So if I were to invite you to a dinner party and you show up and I never talk to you, we probably wouldn't have much dialogue, not much conversation, right? And so the same thing is with him. When we invite him into our business, it's not enough just to invite him into our business. He's going to be faithful and show up, but we have to be faithful and talk to him, discuss with him, right? We've invited him into our business, and now we have to have conversation with him, because that's what he wants. Conversation is a two-way street. It's not a one-way street. It's not just praying to him every time we just need something. It's having conversation, letting him guide us, letting him direct us. And when he does that, we'll get to point three, which is having obedience to actually do that. It's important because we already have established he's all-knowing. He knows everything. So if we get direction from him, He's going to help us maneuver all the traps of the enemy. And that's so important as we're trying to guide these businesses, whether it's you're the single employee of the business or whether you have 200 employees of a business. It's important that if he's not guiding us, we're blind. We're totally blind to what's coming at us. We can't see all the goofy stuff that the enemy's trying to do. He can. He can see all of that. And so if we're speaking to him, we're listening. That's important. We have two ears, one mouth. We listen to him, and then we take that for what it's worth. Then we're able to have conversation, ask him questions, pay attention to what he's saying. It's not just me say something, he says something. I want to ask questions. Why are we doing that, Lord? Why are you telling me to do that? Because that just doesn't feel right. And he always has a good explanation of that. And he's, again, oh yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Well, I know you didn't think of that. That's what I told you. So, communication is a two-way street. I believe God desires a dialogue with us, not a monologue. Again, monologue, one-way conversation. And we're being led by the Holy Spirit. He's giving us direction. It is so important that we remain obedient by listening to his voice and heeding to his correction. Man, it's never fun when we get corrected, but it happens all the time. But that's what makes us stronger, right? That's what builds character, as Brother Jerry would say. So whatever God is telling us, make sure we do it. God wants to bless and grow our businesses, but oftentimes our blessings are waiting on the other side of our obedience.
That's exactly right.
And remember that delayed obedience is still disobedience. I used to tell our kids that. You guys remember me talking about my daughter when she was here last time. Yes, delayed obedience is still disobedience. So when the Lord tells you to do something, it doesn't matter how weird it is or how radical it is, do it. There is a reason for it. I can think of times when we would be going somewhere and the Lord would tell us to go a totally different route than the normal way, the way we know and the way we're comfortable with. But the Lord would say, no, why don't you go this way instead of that way? And then we would read in the paper or see the news that there was a 10-car pileup on the interstate where the normal direction that we would have gone, we would have either been involved, we'd have been delayed, whatever the case may be. So it's so important that when he tells you to do something, it's for your own good, it's to help develop, it's to help increase, because he's always on the increase, right? He's trying to increase us. He's trying to increase what we're doing in our businesses. He's trying to increase what we're doing with our families. There is amazing strength when you go to God with transparency.
That's exactly right.
Boy, let me just repeat that. There is amazing strength when you go to God with transparency. When you're vulnerable, God can make you and mold you into a vessel used for his highest purposes. Man, it's just, that's a real statement.
Yeah.
You know, when we're vulnerable, we take all the pride off the table. We come to him and say, Lord, I screwed up. I messed up pretty bad, and here's what I did. And you're open with him. He comes to you with open arms. James 4:2 says, you lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot contain, you fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And so again, ask, talk to him, communicate with him. That's what he wants. Number three, we have to cooperate. This is where it gets hard. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we've invited God into our business. We're now having some communication with God. And now he's given us direction, and now we have to implement it. This is the hardest part. So there's one thing. He is going to have opinions, I promise. He's very opinionated. He's going to have opinions on how to do things differently than the way you're doing them. So it's so important that we, one, have an understanding of when it's his voice and not someone else's voice. That's very important. And the only way you really figure that out is spending more time with him so you can get familiar with his voice. Spend time in the Word, spend time studying, spend time talking to him so when he talks to you, you know it's him. Because the enemy's pretty slick. He can make you think it's you're listening to him, but it's not. It's either you or you're getting influence from somebody else. So it's so important that you do all the things you have to do to know that it's his voice speaking to you and not someone else. It could be just something that pops into your mind. Could be something that you feel in your spirit. In many cases, that's the Lord talking to you. That's you're feeling that. We all have the Holy Spirit inside of us, right? And so he speaks to us, and we're having conversation and dialogue. You just want to make sure that we're listening and discerning the difference in when we know for sure it's his voice and when there's doubt, it's most likely not. Sometimes you make the mistake of your voice over his voice. Trust me, that does happen. But over time, as you cooperate with the voice of God, you'll become more and more familiar with it. I can always tell when I take control back from God. When I might talk to God and say, hey, we've got this problem. I have a conversation with him. He gives me some ideas, and I say, yeah, I like those ideas, but I think I can do it maybe a little better this way. And every time I do that, it's never good. I can tell you, I've got anxiety. The outcome is never what I want the outcome to be. I've probably taken some short steps. He may have wanted me to get a little uncomfortable, and I didn't really want to get uncomfortable. I wanted to just go with the flow. Let's get this done. I didn't want to offend anybody or hurt their feelings. But every time I did that, it was bad. We might ultimately get to the end result, but it took us a lot longer to get there had I not just followed his simple steps. Gotten a little uncomfortable, may have had to say something to someone that wasn't going to be a really friendly conversation, but had I done that, his way versus my way would have gotten to the end result much, much faster. I can tell you when I do follow him, it's very peaceful, and you know that. Like, you hear the word from God, you're going down that path, you're executing it. There's just a sense of peace that comes over you. It feels like you've got, you know, all kinds of torpedoes coming at you all the time, but I know what God told me to do. I'm doing exactly what he told me, and I've got the armor of God on, and these, thinking of Dr. Savelle's message last week about the bullets and the darts, all these things hitting him and just bouncing off and hitting the floor. That's what you feel when you know you've heard from God and you're following his instructions. When I'm trusting God, I move forward with a sense of calmness to me. If barriers come up, I look to how to move through them and around them logically and ethically versus trying to take shortcuts. 100% of the time, following God has always led to better outcomes. 100%. Never have I followed what God has told me and it not been good. John 15, 1 and 2 says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And so pruning is never fun. It's not comfortable. Not comfortable at all. But it's going to bear more fruit once we get all the rough edges out, right? And so as he's guiding us and molding us and instructing us and doing those things with us, it's not going to feel comfortable all the time. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it feels really nice, but sometimes it doesn't. But know that at the end of the day, you're going to be more fruitful because you've grown through this and you've gotten through this process. Number four. Now we have to implement. So we've heard, we've invited him in, we've had some dialogue, we're cooperating, and now we have to implement what God has told us to do. Yes, God, that's a good idea. We should definitely do what you said. So the word tells us, and I firmly believe that God blesses us far beyond anything we can ask. In fact, Ephesians 3:20 in the Passion Translation is one of my favorite scriptures. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. Man, that's awesome. Thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for achieving more than I could ever ask. Lord, thank you for going above and beyond anything that I could ever even dream of, Father. You're going to outdo all of that. I believe that he swings deals our way as business owners. He puts people in touch with us that gives us business ideas that can help us tremendously grow our business. It's going to help make our business more profitable, and that he influences people to do business with us. It may be some, I get calls 2 or 3 times a month from somebody I don't even know who said, hey, I talked to so-and-so and so-and-so, and they said, you were a great guy. You're a great company, great, great place that we want to be partners with. And that was none of my doing. Now, granted, I do business with ethics, and people know how I do business, and I've been around this industry for a long time, so a lot of people know who I am. But it's God pulling people in, influencing people to say, you need to do business with these guys. You need to do business with this company. You need to do business with him because of the way he operates. And so, you know, there's many times where we've had partners that have been a little on the edgy side, and we've terminated relationships with them because we don't want them affiliated with us in any way. We don't want any opportunity for the enemy to come in and take possession or do anything to our business that's going to screw it up. And so it's so important that you just have that voice speaking to you constantly as we're having that dialogue. At the same time, working with God and having God with us at work does not mean we are completely passive. It doesn't mean he does it all. Bill Johnson said, Jesus didn't accomplish everything so that you could accomplish nothing. That's a good quote. I like that. Jesus didn't accomplish everything so that you could accomplish nothing. I think that's right. I would maybe even take it one step further and say, Jesus accomplished everything so that you can accomplish anything. And he gave us the ability to do it all, right? In his name, we can do anything. And so that's so important. So what this means is we actually have to implement the ideas and strategies and tactics that God gives to us. If you're a farmer, for instance, God may give you a plan for a new crop rotation that could schedule things to be different, but it's going to yield better harvests. But if you never get up and plow the fields, tend the crops, the harvest is never going to come. And so as business owners and business leaders, as we listen to God and we put those things into play, you guys are going to see a multiplication occur. That's the way the Bible reads, right? The Bible, everything's about seed time and harvest. Dr. Savelle taught us that many, many times. And so everything you're sowing, you're going to reap, whether it's good or bad. So you better make sure it's good. Especially as you're a business owner and you're affecting not only your lives, but the lives of others that work for you, you better make sure that everything you're doing is on the up and up. It's not worth any shortcuts. Because as soon as you sow a shortcut, something's going to happen to you that's going to be devastating to your business. And so that's so important. So number 5, we have to steward faithfully. There is a season for everything, even as entrepreneurs. There's a season for sowing. There's a season for growing, reaping, resting. No matter which season you're in, make sure you are stewarding it faithfully. If you're in the beginning stages of a business, cherish the small things. You know, we're about to be 15 years old in November of this year. And we just had our offices remodeled, and we just signed a new lease on an office. So they paid to remodel our office, a new carpet and all this stuff. And I'm going through, I had to pack up my office because they were going to paint my office. And I thought, I remember when we did this. And I had this pair of flippers that I wore as a sales incentive. If we hit a certain volume number, myself and our CFO was going to go jump in this fish pond behind our building. And we did it. We achieved it. And we did it. We were troopers. We went and jumped in this fish pond. It may have been the grossest thing I've ever done, but it was cool. The people got excited, and those flippers came out, and I just got to thinking, Lord, I remember when we did this. This was so much fun. Thanks for bringing this back to my memory. And because now, I mean, it feels like we're going Mach speed. And so, but it's the times where it was just me and Jeff trying to figure out how to code a web application so that we could take an application in our business. And it's the first phone call that we ever received that we have a recording of, that every year on our anniversary, I play that for the staff because it was so messed up. How would anybody ever want to do business with us the way that conversation went? But it's helped us develop into the business and to the leaders that we are today. And that's what makes it so much fun. So if you're just starting out, enjoy the beginnings. You got to enjoy all that stuff because God, it's going to be a learning process for you. Zechariah 4:10 says, God loves to see the work begin. So we got to do something. We got to get out. We got to use the resources that are readily available to us and trust that as you steward them, God will bless you with more. Luke 16:10 says, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in the little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. So it's so important that as you're starting out, you show that you can be trusted, right? The Lord tells you to do something, do it. He wants, same way with sowing and giving. From a financial perspective, you know, the Lord tells you to sow $10. Oh, that's easy. He tells you to sow $100. That may be easy, might be uncomfortable. He tells you to sow 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, million. It starts to get a little antsy, right? So, but the Lord knows that he can trust you because you were faithful in the little things and he began to build trust and things were able to grow. God's economy works very differently than the world's economy. In God's economy, he prizes obedience and faithfulness. You know, it doesn't matter what interest rates are. It doesn't matter what's going on in the economy around us. We are plugged in, hopefully, into God's economy. Yeah. And so none of that that's happening around us, we're going to be looked at and say, how'd you guys get through all these difficult times as you see competitors and those things go under? So as we begin, as are we being faithful in the ways that we spread our resources, build our teams, and deliver goods, no matter what the circumstances are? It's important that when our team and our staff hears from us, they hear godly words, not negative words, right? Everything is in the power of the tongue. And so I don't care what's going on around us. Every time somebody walks into my office, it's a great day. And so my office, my door is open. I want my team to approach me. I don't want to be some CEO tucked away in a corner office. And so I'm always upbeat. It doesn't matter how bad the business is doing or how much I just got chewed out from our private equity guys. I have a great attitude because that's what they see. And if they see me with a bad attitude, they're going to have a bad attitude. And so everything rises and falls with leadership. And so they need to see positive from you before they're able to be positive themselves. What this looks like practically is to stay the course even through disappointment and discouragement. If you know who God has called you to be and what he's called you to do, then that's all that really matters, right? So the rest of it gets pretty easy. Okay, I have a sixth one, so this is my bonus thought. So how many of you guys actually have employees that work for you? Okay, so we have a handful that actually have employees. And so this bonus thought is invest in your people. 1 John 4:7 says, God loves people and he has called us to love them as well. So this is a biblical truth that rings loud and clear. As business owners, you have the immense privilege of directly imparting into your staff's lives. I love it when somebody comes into me hurting because it gives me an opportunity to say, hey, let's see what the Word says about that. And I get to open my Bible and pray with them. Now, granted, not everybody can do that because you're owned by a corporation, but I'm not. And so that's just the way we operate. And they know that. And they get excited to come see me because they know that I'm going to give them an encouraging word, pray with them, gives them godly advice. I'm going to see God's wisdom before I just spout out something. And so it's important that they see that and that they understand how much I appreciate them. So beyond their career journey or contribution as an employee, you have the opportunity every day to help them realize their full potential. Yes, working with people takes up time. It's a time suck. I don't know how many times I come home and say, I didn't really get everything done today, but I got to have an opportunity to speak to X, Y, and Z. Yes, they suck your time, but they are an investment. You are investing in the future of your business.
Yes.
And so it's so important that they see your heart, which hopefully is the Father's heart, right? And so hopefully if God's our CEO, and if he's the controlling partner in our business, that should be our heart as well. So when your employees come to you, hopefully they see that same heart being portrayed back to them. And so that's all I got today. I appreciate you guys being so alert. I was going to open it up for maybe some questions. You want to do that? Oh, okay.
Facilitate questions.
You're allowed to facilitate, yeah. But not introduce.
We'll take at least three.
Okay.
If someone from over here has the first one.
Ding, 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 ding. Don't be shy. I promise I will not bite. Yes, sir. A man of boldness back here in the back. I like it.
Said things aren't looking up in the business, so what do you do to encourage your employees?
Great question. Well, first of all, I think you need to make sure that you're seeking God's advice on how to communicate. What do you want me to tell him, Lord? I mean, he's all knowing. Is it a temporary slump in the business? Is it something that you're going to come through because you're following God and doing all the instruction that God's giving you? So I think from that perspective, you need to seek his advice on what's the right way to communicate what's going on? Hey, I am a firm believer in transparency. It's all about being honest. And so when we're having issues, I tell the people we're having issues. I want them to know. I want them to feel the pain, so to speak, that I'm feeling because I'm having to answer to private equity guys on a regular basis on why we're not performing the way we should be. I want them to know where we're at, what's going on in the business. We're not where we used to be. We're struggling. How come? Let's talk about it. How can we improve on the business? And so it gives you not only trust with your employees because you're fully transparent, but it also opens up ideas. They may think of something that you haven't thought of. I love the idea, you know, I think I shared when I was here last time that when somebody brings me an issue into my office, I tell them they also have to bring a possible outcome. I want them to think about it. I don't want to just make all the decisions myself. I want them to have thought out maybe a possible solution. We may never use their solution, but at least I know they've thought about it, and it might trigger something in my mind to say, hey, that's not exactly the way we should do it, but if we did incorporate this and do that, you know, depending on what the Holy Spirit's telling me. So I think that answers your question, but yes, ma'am.
What are some of the ways you celebrate your employees besides that annual bonus check? I mean, throughout the year.
Well, they all like money, right? We do a couple of things. We feed our employees twice a month. We bring in food twice a month. We'll bring in food trucks one time, and then we'll cater in food another time. We pay each of our employees to go volunteer somewhere 2 days a year, so they get 16 hours of free time off to go volunteer at any nonprofit. Because we want to give back to the community. Last year, our team gave over 1,000 hours back to the community. So we want to serve the community that we do business in, right? And so all of our employees live relatively close, but it could be they're working at the SPCA with dogs. It could be that they're working a fundraiser for cancer awareness. I mean, there's all kinds of different things. As long as it's a nonprofit, then we allow them to go volunteer, and we pay them for their time. And so that's just a couple of different things. We're always doing something. T-shirts. What were you saying? Yeah, we do. We bring ice cream trucks in, which is my favorite, by the way. And so we do all kinds of stuff. You have to make it fun. It's a call center. So you got all these employees under one roof. How do you make it fun every day? You've got to make it fun to come to work every day. So, yes, sir.
Can you give an example like pre-COVID, during COVID, how God led you or instructed you in the middle spiritually, and how did that get applied naturally?
Yes. I will tell you that we had our best time as a business during COVID, which is kind of hard to imagine in the natural. You know, we are we're a financial institution, so we're governed by many state laws as to how we operate from a financial perspective. And so one of the things pre-COVID is that everyone had to be under our roof. So nobody could work remotely. That's the new buzzword, right? Everybody works remotely. Back before COVID, everybody had to be in the office. Well, COVID happened, and we were considered a vital business, so we got to stay open during COVID. We prayed about that Lord, just make us a vital business so we can stay operational. And so we were able to do that, and overnight the Lord showed us how to set people up from a remote perspective to be able to tap in to the technology that we built. When we built it, we never had the vision that people were going to be outside the office. And so, but the Lord showed us a plan on how we could make it capable to have remote workers during COVID. And so folks that were more than a 20-minute drive from the office, we made them stay home. Plus, we needed to space people out and all those other COVID rules that had to apply by for Tarrant County. And so that was part of it. We were seeking God's wisdom on how to not destroy the business, but instead he accelerated the business. Our business quadrupled during COVID. And so it went from being a really good business to being a great business during COVID. And then when we were able to be blessed with an opportunity to sell a portion of the business, we sold the business at the absolute peak because that's what God told us to do. And so I'm glad we sold it then and not now, because it would be a totally different valuation just because of the way the market is and other things are going. So I don't know if that answers your question. I think so.
When you're in a position to where you need to make a move and a decision, and you've sought wise counsel, you sought your leadership team, but you still don't have a peace, but yet you know you have to make a decision and move forward by a certain time, what do you do? Do you follow that wisdom, or do you say, I'm not making a move until I know?
Yeah, until I've got complete peace from God, I'm not doing anything. And so I understand deadlines, and those are no fun. And they, you know, timelines are from the enemy, just so you know. God's never going to put pressure on you. So the peace of God, if the peace of God is on you, you're never going to get pressured by timelines. You're going to know when you know when you know it's time to move forward. And so it's funny. We're actually looking at a piece of property in a house, and the realtor called us yesterday and says, oh, the final bid's due at noon today. And we looked at each other, and we didn't either one have real peace about it. And I let the realtor know, said, you're not going to get an offer from us by noon. So if you have to sell the house, sell it. But we're believing that if it's our house, God will save it for us. And so, but we just don't have that peace.
I think he has to do that, because this is called trust.
And if he is going to be your CEO, you have to trust that he knows exactly what the right time is, because that decision may or may not be correct, no matter who you got the wise counsel from, because he's the wisest counsel.
Yeah, amen. It's good.
So I just know that's happened with us when they want to say, you got to do this. No, not necessarily. Because God may say, hold on, babe, we got something
better. And I'll just to that point, many times where I have felt pressured from a timeline and I've pushed back and said, no, God gave us something better.
Absolutely.
And took us down a totally different path that we had never even thought of. So, yes, sir.
Okay, I'm a very visual person.
Me too.
And this question is to anyone that wants to come and talk to me about this. This is great. I'm trying to learn this for years. And you've been saying it. I've heard other people say this. You said it. Almost everyone said it. I heard from God. Is it the same voice? Is it different? How do you know that it's him every time that you act upon it to where you don't mess up thinking that it's him?
Yeah.
What happens when that happens to you? Am I making sense?
I do totally understand it. So I think to know for sure it's his voice is that you've got to spend quality time with him. You can't just open your Bible only when there's a crisis. You have to spend daily time in the Word. That's how you hear his voice. And that's how you know it's him speaking to you. It's not someone else, because you're familiar with his voice, because you're having dialogue on a regular basis. You have a relationship. It's all about a relationship with God. It's not just go to him when there's a problem. It's going to him again. From a business perspective, It took me a long time to realize that he wants to be involved in the small decisions just as much as he wants to be involved in the big decisions. And when I started doing that, that's when we saw supernatural increase happen in our business. And so it's important that you have that relationship so that you can hear his voice and know it's his voice when he's speaking to you. You want to come stand with me?
No.
You know, how do you know the voice of God? Because you have a knowing that you know. It's kind of like in the service today, right?
Right.
I mean, like what Pastor Justin was speaking of, you're fully persuaded. I know this is right. Because your spirit bears witness with his spirit. I mean, that's what the word says. And so you just know, you know what, this is right. And I know this is your voice. And there comes a time you have to train yourself in these things. It doesn't happen overnight, but you start training yourself in the fact that I trust that spirit within me. That's what Brother Hagin taught us, right? You have to develop and train that human spirit to hear the spirit. And then you recognize it and you bear witness with that spirit. And so you have a knowing. I said this to a young lady today. You sometimes have to trust that within you. Now, I wouldn't say that in a multi-million dollar decision, business decision, that that'd be your first step of trying that. You know? Brother Jerry taught me a long time ago, you better know how to believe for something small before you start stepping out on something big.
Amen.
Because he trusts you with larger things, just as that verse said, after he sees you with the small things and what he could entrust with you. And of course, the greatest thing will always be the anointing, which is more than any dollar can buy.
Amen.
So I just say that because I think that we're not taught to trust that. But God's seed time and harvest works in trust. And he can only trust what you can trust.
Amen.
That was a hard thing for me to learn because I didn't have much trust in myself. But his seed time and harvest works even in that. So.
She should preach. I'm telling y'all.
How do you coach employees that may not be doing their job up to your company standards?
That's a great question. You know, not everybody has the same work ethic that you have. There's a process that we have today. So we do a verbal warning with them first. We sit them down and say, hey, look, we do a review of our employees every month. So they sit down with their superior on a monthly basis. We don't do annual reviews. We do monthly reviews because I don't want them to be surprised at the end of the year. I want them to know on a monthly basis, hey, you're doing a great job or you suck, you know, whatever it might be. And so we're having that dialogue with them on a regular basis. And so first it's a verbal warning. If it happens in consecutive months, then they get a written warning into their folder. And then ultimately, if they can't play by the game and execute, then we terminate them. You know, not everybody's going to be a superstar. You've got to have the middle of the road people that grind every day, that it's just never going to be a superstar. But they're also coming to work every day. They're loyal. They do their job. They just may not be Eric. Great attitude, yes. They're following policies and procedures. They're not, you know, they're not showing up late. They're not doing rogue things. And so, I mean, you have to deal with people, right? So, say again.
So, when you started this business, when God led you down this road, we had someone speak into our lives, and they said, you have to do this in prayer. So it is a daily prayer.
Mm-hmm.
That pruning, you know, Brother Jerry taught me that, you know, 30 plus years ago. Nobody asks a tree, does that hurt? When they cut that limb, that's what he taught me. But there has to be pruning sometimes because sometimes people's attitudes change. So it's a daily prayer. You prune whoever doesn't need to be there. And you only bring in those who should. Yeah, that's a daily prayer. Because all of us can have a heart change. And if their heart's not going to be knitted to our heart and our vision, then we don't need them. And that's not being ugly. I mean, that is the way the kingdom works, right? And not what Jesus did with the disciples.
And we're constantly reviewing kind of the bottom 10%.
Yes.
performers.
Yes.
And so we're always, you know, if you're in the bottom 10%, 1 month, 2 months, even one quarter, two quarters, okay. But if you're in the bottom 10% for a year, you probably don't need to be there anymore.
Right.
I can probably improve on you.
But there could be people there that God needs to use you in their lives. That's what I'm saying, why we've made it just a matter of prayer. Help us to know and recognize, were they drawn here by you because they needed you? Because that's happened also. But if they've been drawn here and they've had a change of heart and this is no longer their compassion, then we don't need them here anymore. And you don't. Because it's bringing down the atmosphere.
I have a woman that works for us that's been with us for 12 years, I guess, since we opened up the call center in Fort Worth. Not a superstar. She's kind of a middle of the road, maybe even bottom third performer. But, buddy, she's a prayer warrior. Yes. And she's praying over the business on a daily basis. I know she's praying over the business on a daily basis. She serves Brother Copeland and Sister Gloria at EMIC on a regular basis. And so, you know, could I improve on the employee piece? Maybe, but I know God wants her there. She's there for a reason, and that's to support and pray. She's an encourager. She comes in, maybe having a bad day. She'll come in and say something that'll just totally change my thought process because that's what she's there for. She's not there to be a superstar. She's there to do her job. She's a great worker. She's super loyal. She shows up every day right on time. But she is a prayer warrior, and we need those. We got to have those behind you to be successful.
I don't have a question, but I just wanted to thank you on behalf of my daughter back here because it's a unique situation. She's my employee. And so, yeah, as you were talking about, you know, have a good attitude and be positive no matter how things are going. She's back here tapping me. So thank you.
Thank you. Oh, I love that. Yeah, I love that. I love your demeanor, by the way. Just happy, very smiley.
So we live in a world of social media everything now. I cannot stand social media, but trying to build your business, they really press social media, get it out there. What is your thought and opinion on that in this day and age to maybe how to get your information out there to people without having to be bogged down by constantly being on social media?
Yeah, they're, you know, up until probably 2 or 3 years ago, we didn't even have any social media outside of Facebook page for our company. And now you're right. I mean, it is, you have to be on social media because that's where people are going to look for things, right? And so, you know, we have a service that's kind of automated, so we're not wasting a lot of time trying to manage that. I don't have an employee that manages that. We set up a month's worth of posts that are going to occur, and you can set those up in an automated fashion where on Tuesday at 4 o'clock it does this, or at Thursday at 9 o'clock it does this. And so there's a lot of data that shows you when's the right time to post, when are people more on their phones and jacking around and that sort of thing. And so we've done a ton of study around that, but we've built all that through an automation standpoint so that it's not sucking all of our time trying to keep up with all the stuff on social media. And those things are free. You don't have to pay for many of those. So just do some research. You can find different products that allow you to do automated postings to social media and that sort of thing.
This morning I was getting ready, and I saw us laying hands on people. Yeah. I know that's not something you do a lot, but he has an anointing on his life for increase, supernatural increase, and favor. Mm-hmm. And you don't get to that place without anointing from God. And so those of you that desire, what I'd like to do is come across this way, and then we'll make a tunnel and have you pass through. We're not going to spend time over everybody, but just lay hands and touch you. And last time that we did this, and I don't remember who was here, but I got immediate calls within an hour afterwards. In fact, was it you? What happened last time? We were talking about profitable business.
Yeah, new clients. We, before I even got in the truck, we picked up two new clients. before I even left.
At what? You said it was some of the most profitable types of business.
Yeah, it was some insurance work that we had picked up. People, because I don't ever get calls on Sundays, and I got a call as soon as we left on an insurance job that was 100% profit.
Amen.
I talk about in the parking lot going out to the car.
Amen.
So that's what I'm believing for.
And I want
because,
some of that.
Because the anointing's coming on me right now. Because I believe, because we only see you guys once a quarter, I mean, this is as vital as another hour of questions.
Yeah,
so sometimes it's just the hand of God that's on you, that it takes one meeting with one person, and that's favor.
Yes.
Favor's being in the right place at the right time. Favor opens doors. Favor changes policies and procedures and laws.
Yes.
And favor puts you in front of the right people. So that's what we're going to believe today. For those of you that desire, we just want to line up this way and come through. And then...